The Reset Podcast is a show about fresh starts. In business, career, relationships, health, and life in general, sometimes we all go forward to a new square one. Every moment is a new opportunity to begin again, and my guests will tell you how, when, and why they decided to reset their lives. I'm Franklin Taggart. Welcome to the Reset Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Reset Podcast. My name is Franklin Taggart, and my guest today is a person I've gotten to know over the last year, and I'm very excited to present Lenina Olivas. Olivas.
Olivas.
I did it wrong. Olivas. Lenina Olivas. And Lenina is an artist and very recently has been asked to be the director of the Lincoln Gallery in Loveland, Colorado. And we're going to be talking a little bit today. The Reset Podcast, of course, is a podcast about fresh starts. And a few years ago, Lenina really discovered a passion for art, and in particular, oil painting. Would that be right?
Correct.
All right. And so I'd like to start a little bit before your art career took off. And let's talk a little bit about where you were maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You were a professor.
So about 3 years ago, I was teaching. So okay. I was teaching at two local colleges. And for the first 2 years, I was at Ames Community College, but I taught at a charter school. So the first 2 years I taught, my students were 14 and 15. So teaching 14 and 15 year olds college material was a challenge, but I loved my students and they offered me a lot of great stories and entertainment, and I loved them. Would go to trips to the Capitol and just talk about everything that was going on in the world. Once those 2 years hit, there was a change in the way the school was working with the college. So our program got cut. I got offered the position by the community, I got offered the position by the charter school, but was significantly less pay. So I figured it was a sign, so it was time to just teach at the college. So third year coming into college, I just wasn't happy. It was a lot of stress for not that much pay, and it was very unstable. So it was actually October of last year when I thought, it's time to make a change. This is not what happiness looks like. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going. But what I knew was on December 15th, the day of the final, I was done. So at 2:15, when class was over, I would have all my grades submitted and I was done teaching. So I thought about when were times in my life that I was really happy and what I wanted to get back to. So I thought about when I modeled about 5 years ago. I used to model for artists and photographers and for print ads. So I thought about that time and I thought about how joyous it made me and how much, just how happy and vibrant I could see it in the pictures and I could see it in the pictures. I was actually complimented that I was the only model they knew that could keep a smile for 3 hours straight. So I loved that time. But as we all know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're not going to look like that forever. So I had my degree, and I knew I loved art. And painting was what I did when I was teaching. And it was just something I did. And so I thought, what would it look like if I were to pursue that as an artist? So it was there. I wasn't sure exactly what it was going to look like, but I knew that's what I wanted to look for. So it was either go to art, follow my heart, or follow my education, which was government, which is kind of funny. We're talking about that now on the the day after. the day after election. So that's kind of where I thought I was going to go.
You taught government and political science?
Yes, I taught government and political science. So everything about the process, about the history, about what's going on, how to create and produce change, giving speeches, anything and everything to do with political science. So I like the 101 level.
Yeah.
I'll build on that. So American government. So on December 15th at 2:17, I was done. My grades were in, they were submitted. I was done. Like, I gave my book back, I gave the jump drive back, I gave everything back, and I drove home. I was the happiest that I can remember being. I was elated. I think the only other time I was that happy was after I got married. Puppy. Like, I was just so happy. I was done with teaching and I was on to my next life. I didn't know what my next life looked like, but it was going to be great. So a few months going forward, I applied and interviewed for some government jobs. And then I got into all of the art stuff, connecting with other artists, networking. And I met a woman at the Artist Collective by the name of Pat Saunders White. And she told me about a position at the Lincoln Gallery. And I said, okay. So I looked at the job description and they wanted a director. And I was like, oh, maybe I should try for the assistant director first. So I thought about it. And a week later, I applied and I got the position. So now I'm a director and I create my art and it's really great. So I'm really happy.
Well, good. But that's not the end of the story. No. That's just the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah. So another question that comes to mind is that you're really at the very beginning of your art career.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be impolite and talk about your age. But as a second career, or it may be a third career at this point because you were a model too, but coming into an art career at this point in your life, what are the things that you are surprised by?
The things that I'm surprised by is how much teaching political science has helped me in becoming a director, and how much talking about art and being comfortable talking about art. And I'm really comfortable talking about art as a model, being the subject of the matter and also being the artist. So I'm very versatile in how I see art. And then also how poli-sci relates to being a director. So a lot of people wouldn't see that. So it's the writing speeches, giving speeches, asking for money, shaking hands, being very personable, being in front of the camera, or being the face of the gallery itself. So that's very similar to what it's like in the political realm. So there's a lot of similarities there.
A little bit of overlap.
Yes.
So you've been well prepared for your role as a director. Let's talk a little bit about your role as an artist. One of the things that I was going to share is that this year, for the first time, you were invited to be a part of the Loveland Studio Tour. Yes. And that just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, what were the big things that you learned from the studio tour this year?
A lot of things I learned. So like to move back or step back. I've been painting for 3 years. So I've had a great deal of success and how short my career as an artist has been. But for the studio tour, so what I learned in the studio tour is how important promotion is. like how comfortable you have to be talking about your work and explaining your work and showing your work. And even though I know my process, and I assumed everybody else understood the process, but like political science, not everybody does. So just taking pictures and showing people and walking them through the steps and doing still videos that showcase how I get from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And that made a huge impact. So that showing, so promotions, and also the importance of having different price points for people to buy art. Not everybody can spend $1,000 on an original, but people want to support you. So smaller items is definitely.
Yeah. One of the things that I've really been impressed with are all the number of ways that you found to be visible in the community. And one of the most interesting is that you you joined the Adopt-A-Road program. Tell us a little bit about how that idea even happened.
So I had, my husband and I, we traveled to New Orleans. And New Orleans is an older state, I should say. And I was just taken back by how much trash there was. And that kind of stuck with me. And so every morning, if it's 40 degrees or warmer, I take my dogs out. And I would often see trash on the floor. So of course I thought about complaining, but I thought, hey, I can pick up some trash while I'm walking my dogs in my 3-mile walk. So I started to do that. But it would become a little bit difficult to hold trash and dog poop and hold my 3 dogs at the same time. So then I started thinking about that. And I thought about the programs that I have seen Adopt-A-Road by such and such facility. And I wondered, I wonder how much that cost. So I did some research and I found out it's free. All you have to do is clean up your side of the road however many miles you decide to adopt. So you have to pick up 3 times a year, which is nothing. So I adopted it's 1.5 miles in one direction and 1.5 miles in the other direction. So in essence, it was roughly mileage-wise as far as I'd walk my dogs. But so I got that. So I adopted the road. Then my sign came and I had a small opening. So I asked the guys from the road crew to help me and give me a call. And so I met them at the location and that was really exciting. Now, every morning when I drive to work or drive to the market or drive wherever I need to go, I see my signs adopted by Lenina Olivas Fine Art. It's amazing. So I really am really happy about that.
Very good way and very innovative way to just keep your name in front of people. And that, I think that's really a cool little out of the box kind of idea. I love it.
Very altruistic. And I get asked a lot, so how much did that cost? And it cost nothing. It just time to pick up trash, which that's when I see people all say, that's a good deal. So I have to pick up trash in my backyard because I have 3 dogs. So I guess I'll do it out there too.
Very good. Well, I think I'm interested to know a little bit. Most of the work that you do currently is in the area of still life. Yeah. And what about still life is interesting to you that makes you want to do that all the time?
So I think back when I was younger and I would go to museums. And of course, I never had the talent to paint that way, or so I thought. And the paintings that I was always drawn to were the really dark classical still lifes. And there was, the modern and the very colorful pieces. And those just, I would look at them and then walk away. But I would stand at those classical still lifes for hours and it was a piece of fruit. But what was it about that piece of fruit that drew me in? Like, I thought about the story behind that, and I would create a whole story behind a still life. Maybe that story was true, maybe it wasn't. So fast forward, when I decided to become a painter, I chose my instructor. So one of the great things about being a model is I got to meet an array of artists. So I got to understand how they view things. I got to see their work. And most importantly, I got to be comfortable with their personalities. So I chose still life. And before I create a still life, I think about the story behind that certain piece. And then I portray that story. And just like when I was setting up for this interview, I was checking the lighting and what it would be for, like one light source or two light sources, and what's the story behind me or around me? Is it comfortable? Is it warm? Is it welcoming? Like, what is it about that still life with fruit and a glass of wine? What is that story? So that's what I always like to portray in my still life.
When you were growing up, what kind of art was around you as you were growing up?
I think the only thing I remember was an angel. I was not in that kind of family that had a bunch of art. That was for those people. So that was not part of my upbringing at all. But when I did go to the museums, I was always drawn to the really large, dark, dramatic, dark pieces. And I love them. In my mind, when I think about art and what art is to me, I don't think about, well, what I do think about, I always think about a piece that you have in your living room in front of a fireplace, maybe with your bearskin rug or your significant other or a glass of wine, and just some piece that you would really love to just look at for hours.
Yeah.
So there's a saying, Looking at a beautiful painting is a lot like looking at a beautiful woman, where you can just stare at it for hours. I never understood that until I started painting. Then it finally hit me what it was. I was like, now I get it. So
you really start noticing details and subtleties and things like that.
Yes, and I can sit there and stare at my pieces or other pieces that I have around my house for hours. One time my husband sat next to me and asked if I was feeling okay. And I said, why? And he said, well, you're staring off into space. And I said, I'm not staring off into space. I'm staring at that painting. It's so beautiful. It's just, I don't know. It's just the feeling that I get from seeing pieces like that.
Well, starting from still life, what are some of the things that you would like to explore in your next stage of artist development?
I think the next stage of my artist development will be painting a mural and also painting utility boxes. I see me exploring the mural idea within the next 1 to 2 years. I have to do the research on how you even start that process and what's the preparatory work. And also, I've spoken to a fellow artist who does utility boxes, and she said she would take me under her wing. So I'm going to be her assistant. So it's not something that I know as of right now, like how to do it, but she has a lot of experience. And she,
sounds good.
It's really important for me to look for role models or guides and then ask them for their help and ask them for their input. And then once I learn and listen, or maybe I should say once I listen and learn, then that's something I can take up. Those are my two goals in the next 1 to 2 years.
Very good. Let's talk a little bit about as a professional artist now, what are the things that you find, there are kind of two questions in one here. What are the things that you find most uplifting about it? And what are the things that you find most challenging about it?
The most uplifting part, I think, is when people come into the gallery and they tell me about their art, and how they'll come in a little apprehensive, and then they'll show me their work. And as they start talking about their work and what it means to them, like just to see that spark of light kind of come out. So, and I feel that same way, especially when I was doing the studio tour, when I would talk about my piece and somebody would ask, and then I would tell them the story behind the art or that particular piece. And I could feel myself like a ray of light coming out, and I was just beaming. I was like, oh, I felt great. And so I see that in other people, in other artists that are professional artists. The thing I find most challenging is when people will say, will ask me if I do paint and sip classes. So I think that's really fun, a very fun social activity, but it's a lot longer than 2 hours with the glass of wine or four. It's, and challenging is, I also understand that you have to plan on buying a certain piece, a large original, and where it's going to sit. I understand that, and I understand people have different price points, but it's difficult when somebody thinks a original piece of art for $500 is too much money. And they'll turn around and buy two pieces that are from a box store for $250 each. And I'm like, oh gosh. So I find that difficult.
Yeah.
Or challenging.
We can't make people have a certain kind of taste now, can we?
We cannot. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some upcoming shows that you've got going on. You finished the studio tour, and you, as a director, you've just hung the regional fine art show. Yeah. And now what for you personally?
So for me personally, my next event is going to be at the Centerra Mall in Loveland. I'm going to be the feature artist on December 6th from 5 to 8. So I'll be doing live demos. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do two different demos or just one larger piece, and I'll have smaller pieces available for the holidays. So that will be December 6th at Centerra. The other one is $100 or less at the Lincoln Gallery. So I'll be one of 30 artists that will have pieces in the gallery from December 18th through January 4th, where everything is $100 or less. So if you have $100, you can pick up three pieces. So
just in time for the holidays.
Yes, and a lot of them will be originals.
Yeah.
Smaller originals or coasters or cards or whatever. But yeah, it'll be a perfect time for them.
Now the Centerra one is going to be at a place called the Christmas Shops. And that is right in the main part of the Centerra Shopping Center area. It's a really cool shop that's going to be featuring a lot of art and craft from local artists. And it's really cool that you're a part of that. So that's going to be on December 2nd?
December 6th.
December 6th, okay. So December 6th at the Christmas Shops at Centerra.
Yes, it'll be where the old New York and Company was.
All right. We'll have links to all of this stuff in the description so that you can find out more information about it. The other thing that I'd like to close with is where can people find you online?
So people can find me online on my website at Lenina Olivas Fine Art. Also, I'm on Instagram, Lenina Olivas Fine Art, and Facebook. Oh, and YouTube.
Very good. So we'll include links to all of those in the description as well. Let's just say, is there one last thing that you would like people to know about you before we finish today?
One thing I would like people to know about me. It's never too late to change. It's never too late if you're not happy. It's never too late to make that change in make yourself who you want to be and who you envision yourself to be. So I'm extremely happy with the change and who I am now, being the director of the Lincoln Gallery and being an artist, or being an artist and the director of the Lincoln Gallery. But yeah, I wouldn't change it, and I wouldn't go back to teaching.
All right. Very good. That's some good wisdom there. I'd like to just say thank you to Lenina for being my guest today. It's been a fun conversation, and it's always nice to have a chat with you. And best of luck in all of the things that you're doing. I'll look forward to seeing all of the creative ways that you make yourself known in the community. You just seem to never run out of ideas.
Well, yeah, just kind of look around and think about how I can contribute and get my face out there.
Well, that's very good. For the rest of you who are listening, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to this podcast. The Reset Podcast is available on all the different channels that podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iTunes for as long as it will be around. It's also available on YouTube and on my website, franklintaggart.com. I appreciate everyone's attention in this day and age. Your attention is the most valuable thing you have, and for you to spend any of it on me is a real honor, and I appreciate it. Lenina Olivas is leninaolivasfineart.com and also on Facebook, and we'll have some links to her work online. And again, Lenina, thank you for being here, and I'll look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you, Franklin.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to, subscribe, and review the Reset Podcast. The Reset Podcast features interviews, insights, and in-depth reflections that will help you navigate your own fresh start. If you'd like to be a guest or share an idea for a topic you'd like to hear about, please contact podcast@franklintaggart.com. I offer a wide range of services to people who are ready to live with clear direction, new possibilities, greater freedom, and unlimited creativity. If you're looking for a new beginning, I'm available to help you. More information is available at franklintaggart.com. The Reset Podcast is a production of Franklin Taggart and Make Your Own Way Media. All rights reserved.